Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on X or Twitter at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman and you could catch his great columns every week on playlikeajet.com. You could also follow him on Twitter at grownfolk1980. You could follow myself at CP7NY. Remember, you could follow or you could catch our podcast wherever you catch your podcast at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you could also find us at SportsWire Radio at sportsinarium.com/player. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Price, at ThomasPrice2017, for all the other scheduling of the other great shows on there. So another victory Monday or Wednesday, as we are recording now, a victory podcast, as I like to call it. So let's talk about our victory.
Yeah,
a very good victory.
An incredible victory. I think I want to start with, I know we're gonna talk about the players. We are, because they're the ones that execute. They're the ones that do the job. But I want to start with the coaching, because I don't think this would be possible if the Jets coaching staff did not do an incredible job of getting, especially the defense, ready to face one of the best offenses and skilled offensive lines and wide receivers and one of the toughest sumbitches out there as a quarterback in Hurts. It was crazy to watch, basically, you know, guys draping off him and he's like running like no, like carrying guys around. He's really tough to bring down, man. The Jets were ready for everything. They were exotic in a lot of the fronts they brought. They guys were playing in positions they normally don't play at. I mean, they masked stuff. They did so much on defense. And got for a complicated game plan like that, players have to understand their jobs to the T. And guys executed well. They were fast. They were, you know, fierce. You know, very little missed tackles. I think the one I was most disappointed in is the touchdown by Swift, where Whitehead basically kind of just smashed himself into Swift instead of trying to just tackle him and bring him down. That would have, in my opinion, that was a done deal. That Swift shouldn't have gone any further. But because instead of wrapping him up, you know, just try to hit him as hard as he can. And sometimes that, I mean, that's just not the name of the game. You got to wrap up. But anyway.
And to add to what you're saying, they were also probably without their top two or technically three corners, right? Gardner, Reed, and also Echols too.
And Echols, yes.
Right?
Yes. Who is a really intricate piece to what they do. But that's what I was about to say, is the fact that all these guys are missing, right? And these guys are executing, and the guys brought in are executing to the level that they were executing is to me an indication of how good the coaching is. You know, if you're telling me before the season started that Aaron Rodgers is out, Zach Wilson is the quarterback, and not only does Reed not play, Sauce not play, and your fourth corner doesn't play either. And one of the reasons why Echols is so good is because he could play both slot and outside, you know, and because he's multiple, he's very important to them. And the thing to me is, you watch the way Bryce Hall executed. You watch the way, what's the other kid's name that they brought up from the practice squad?
Oh, James?
Yes.
Right? They just signed him.
Yeah, and the other kid too. There was two guys they brought up, no?
Yeah. It was James and... Oh, man, what was the other guy's name?
Yeah, now I got to go look.
Was it Hayes?
Sounds about right.
Ty Hayes?
Hayes, yes. Yeah. Listen.
For 4 or 5 years, literally bouncing. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Miami, New England, Carolina.
Yeah, it was Tay Hayes. Yeah. So yeah. It was Tay Hayes. Tay Hayes came up. It was, he had two tackles. We had, who's the other kid that brought up? What you said, what was his name? You said James? Yeah, Craig James. Craig yes. James. And you had Michael Carter doing all kinds of stuff. He was playing all kinds of positions. You had basically your safeties playing linebacker type alignments. You had, you know, there was such crazy stuff. I think even Jermaine Johnson, Luke Grant had a great breakup. If you have a chance to find Luke Grant on Twitter, he had a great breakdown of a couple plays on defense where you just see the incredibly confusing lineups that the Jets had planned for the Eagles from the jump. For you to have these lineups, you have to also have a very sound back end of your defense. How are you doing these things and counting on guys that just came up to the practice squad to be sound because of one Tony Oden, who is the DB coach for the Jets?
Yep.
Whose name has come up for a long time, you know, for a lot of things. One, the corner for the Eagles, Darius Slay, always talks about the fact that Oden is the reason why his game got to where it is. There's a lot of other guys that always mention how good he is at getting guys to understand that game, that DB game. And you could tell that he's an incredible coach because for Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich to come to him with the game plan and go, hey, this is what we want to do. And we want you to take two guys from the practice squad and teach them how to back that up. That's crazy. And to execute it is even crazier. But guys, we have to take into account the reason why these things are working. It's because the coaching is crazy. We are seeing guys play at levels they've never played before this year because they are put in positions over and over again to perform on high levels. We have spoken about Quincy Williams and how good he is. I mean, we could brag about him because this guy is a missile. And almost every talking head that I've heard speak on the Jets defense, the first name that comes out is Quincy Williams. The Kelsey Brothers podcast talked about the Jets defense. One of the first names that came out was Quincy Williams.
Yep.
Because he just pops off the screen. We spoke about this before the season began that he just needed to get over the hump because his game was not that far away. And yep. Lo and behold, 2023, boom. Just incredible instincts, which, again, surround yourself with guys like CJ Mosley. And guess what's going to happen, right? So we move on to a guy like Jermaine Johnson, who, as a pass rusher, still has an incredible room to grow. But guess what? When it comes to effort, you can't teach that. You can't teach the want and the nonstop motto he has, never ending. He plays from the time the whistle is blown and until the whistle is blown again to stop the play. Nonstop, 100 miles per hour. And the reason why he had a forced fumble where he was playing on the backside of a play. being alert enough to understand what the play was and what and recognizing what the Eagles were going to do. The Eagles called a great play against what the Jets were doing. But guess what? All the players, from Quinnen Williams, who was on the defensive line, to Jermaine Johnson, who was basically a linebacker on the backside of the play, saw the screen, instantly triggers, attacks the ball carrier, smashes his arm, the ball comes out, Quinnen Williams catches it. I mean, these are things that we struggle to do as a defense, as a team, for the longest, where things don't happen for us. The ball is always on the ground. We're like, oh my God, we almost. You know, and you're seeing these things are happening. It's because of coaching. We have to give Robert Saleh his flowers. We have to give Jeff Ulbrich his flowers. We have to give Tony Oden his flowers. It's because these guys are really good at what they do. And everybody is noticing because the players are putting it out there, game in and game out.
Yep.
Now, we have a lot of growing to do on offense. But there's two things that we have to mention. Number one, Zach Wilson, that the last couple games, Zach Wilson is not the first two games like Zach Wilson. We have to understand something flipped in this kid because he's calmer. His footwork is better. He's making better decisions. But he has this hump that he needs to go over where he kind of gets where he has to get the kind of rhythm of the offense going where the ball needs to come out on time to where he needs to get it. And it's not even that far because in my opinion, some of the decisions he made were great decisions. I think I saw people talking about the fact that he threw the ball to Wilson on the goal line as a back shoulder. He gave his guy a shot. Did not work out. Oh, you should have thrown the ball somewhere else. That's what makes a quarterback. Sometimes you have to give your guy a shot. You know, it's going to work at some point. That's fine with me. But there's more to it than that, in my opinion. You know, because, again, we have one of the things about our fandom is that we have incredible Jets content on Twitter. And one of the best is the guys at Jets X Factor. Yep. And Michael Narnia basically had an article where he talks about the fact that the Jets are incredibly bad in the red zone and they're incredibly bad on third down. Why? Because of the way they set up those downs. The Jets averaged 10 point something yards for every third down. That means every time they were third down, they were 10 yards or more away from a third down. What, you're not giving yourself great odds to complete a third down if every time you're throwing for third down, you're about 10 yards away. That's right. Crazy. You know? So there is, that might have been an issue because we were playing the Eagles and we couldn't run against them. Because they were swallowing up everything at the line. I mean, Reese was getting hot late, but it was late, you know. But for the most part, we didn't really have a running game. We couldn't really get to them. But it was also a great idea for the Jets to have Zach Wilson throw the ball. So I was happy with that, you know. But yeah. But from what I say, these are the talking points that are in the forefront of my mind. What do you think? What did you see?
Well, I see, like, this is where I can't decipher. Like, was it a great job by the Jets on defense, or was the Eagles just totally off their game? And I think it was a little bit of both, because I think
that's a great point. That's a great point. I'll continue that one. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because I think the play calling on the Eagles side, to me, made no sense. I understood, okay, you're going in, but remember, Gardner was not officially out until what, Saturday? I think we got the news.
Yes.
Friday night.
Yes.
So their play, so their game plan was already in, right? Was already in, basically.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
So they couldn't have changed. So, okay, you're going in with, okay, Gardner's playing. Okay, you got DJ Reed is out. Okay, so we could exploit that side. All right, whatever. But why get away from what you do better than almost any team out there? They got away from the run game, and it made – I still don't understand why. Because coming into the game, if you – you're like, we know the Jets' run game – run defense was – ranked like 27th or 28th. I forgot what the number it was. But you know a team coming in is the total is very weak against the run, and you run the ball as good or better than any team in the league, and you get away from it? To me, that made no sense. DeAndre Swift had 10 carries. Gainwell, 2. Scott, 2. The Eagles don't win games by having Jalen Hurts drop back and pass 55 times. And throw the ball 45 times. You just don't win games that way. That's not there. So for me, I don't understand what's going on. We kind of talked about it for the past couple of weeks that their offensive coordinator has to get more in sync with the offense with Jalen Hurts. Right now, they're not. And just on their side, you can't keep waiting, right? They're lucky that they went 5-0 in games that they didn't play that good. But they ended up winning because they didn't have that hard of a schedule early on. But their next 6-7 weeks, I kind of brought it up last week. It is tremendously hard for them coming up. I mean, they got Miami this week, which is not, obviously not going to be an easy game for them at home. But I don't know how much longer they could keep this offensive coordinator in place. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how much longer they could have patience for him to grow on – you know, on the job every week, because this is a team that's a Super Bowl. You know, they were in the Super Bowl, obviously, last year, and they were basically picked to go to the Super Bowl this year. How much time are they going to give Brian Johnson to, you know, sync up this offense and to sync up with Jalen Hurts and do all that? Because we're talking about this is week 6 now, and they have not looked good on offense whatsoever. So that from, you know, from the Eagles side, since I do root for the Eagles as well, that's what I'm concerned about. I'm saying to myself, Sirianni might have to take over play calling because right now Johnson is to me totally lost. And that's what lost that game for me. I just watching it, and I was rooting for the Jets the whole way, trust me. For me, the Eagles lost that game just by not trying to run the ball as much as they normally do, you know?
So yeah, so that so I want to give a little context to what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Because I pulled up some the play the first touchdown the Eagles scored. I pulled up that play, 21 plays, right, for 83 yards, right?
And that touchdown, let's be honest, was controversial, 100%.
Yes.
So
21 plays, right? So mm-hmm. So this to me, when you have a game plan, right? Of that game plan normally is that first drive, right? So that's their first drive. The Jets punted. They took the ball, right? Mm-hmm. They took the ball and they went pass, 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 run, 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 pass, 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 run, run. But I want to show you something, right? Mm-hmm. All the passes I called, right? There were no explosive plays. Right. The if you would say an explosive play was an 11-yard pass, 7-yard pass, 14-yard pass,
yeah,
10-yard, no. Right? Neither was there any explosive runs in all the run plays I'm counting, right?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 runs, right? They're counting the run, the touchdown as the run, you know, that phantom touchdown. They're counting that as a run, right? They had, of those runs, they had a 10-yard run was the longest they had. everything else was minus. They even had a minus 7 run.
Right.
So as a play caller, right? This is the, and I'm not trying to defend the guy in any way. I'm just trying to put a little context to what you were talking about.
Right.
As a play caller, you come in with a chart and you have a plan. If that defense, right, is missing their two best corners, right? Even if they were just missing Reed, which does not matter, because remember, the Eagles wide receivers are two of the best wide receivers in the NFL, no?
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. So and to show you that he didn't really stray away from anything else, their wide receiver, Brown, right, had 131 yards.
Right.
7 receptions. Right? The Jets locked him up in the red zone. He didn't catch anything in the touchdown, right? That was the first drive I'm talking about, right? So the first drive went like that. Just for context.
Right.
Right? Second drive.
I see it. Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah. It's all passed.
The second drive.
It's all pass.
Pass.
Right.
And then interception.
But that's not because, him. That's what
because,
I'm saying.
But this is what I'm saying, Chris. Right? their whole game plan seemed to be about throwing the ball.
Right.
Right? Their other touchdown drive they had, right? Pass, run. Right?
Yep.
So they got turnover on down, so they had a short field. So that to me in reality, I mean, it was a more balanced drive because they had pass and they run a couple times more. But they had that huge throw to Brown for 49 yards for that drive. Right? So okay, fine with that. But I'm just trying to create context here. Next drive, right? Run, 19-yard pass, then the fumble. Right?
Right.
The one CJ Mosley caused.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I get it. Listen, they wanted to go after the Eagles corners. I get it.
Because this is what I'm saying. Like, Chris, I'm not saying that you're totally wrong, but all I'm saying is this. The Eagles are a top flight roster, right? It should not in any way, shape, or form be a weakness or for them to lean on their passing game. Not against a team that has one or two or three of their corners out. Right. I think it speaks more. As much as I understand why everyone is saying that the Eagles haven't performed to what they've always been.
Right. No, they're not. They definitely haven't played that well. They're
fine. We spoke about this last week and I agreed with you. But again, to me, the fact that they're, you know, that they struggled and or they didn't run the ball as much as you want. Like, how many carries did they have? Let's see.
What did I say? 10 for Swift?
Yeah, Swift had 10, but they had more. They had
Swift had 10 carries. Gainwell, 2. Scott had 2. Hurts had 8.
Yeah, they didn't run the ball that much.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I get you want to attack with the pass, but they got to balance it out a little bit and run the ball a little bit more because that is what this team has been. That's what this team has been the last decade.
But Chris, again, I just for context, right? They did not every when you for you to have a full picture of what the Eagles were trying to do, look at how many turnovers they had.
Right.
If they had continued some of those drives, maybe you would have seen the run more often. But they didn't because they turned over the ball four times. So you couldn't see the bag. You couldn't see the whole trick bag of tricks. You only saw, yes, I think I agree that they were more pass forward because they thought that they could you know, kind of go against the office, you know.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I 100% agree. And here's my final point with the run. Throughout that whole game, what I'm saying, at the end of the game, at the 2 minute warning, right? They have, or after the 2 minute warning, third down and 9, right? For the Eagles. Now, we know what happened, right? The Hurts tried to throw the ball, picked off, and Adams brought it all the way back to what, the 2 yard line. Okay. Now, during the 2 minute warning, I was talking to my friends at the time, and I said, they're going to run the ball here and just run the clock out as much as they can and then force the Jets to, you know, force Zach Wilson to drive whatever, how many yards he has to, 40, 50 yards, depending on how far they punt him down, with about a minute and 10, minute and 15 at the most, with no timeouts. And that's what I thought the right move would have been on 3rd and 9. You run the ball there. You don't get the first down. Okay, you run the clock down to about a minute, minute 30, minute between a minute and 30, minute 20, right? And then you punt the ball. So the Jets will have the ball, let's say, at the 15-yard line. They're 15 with about a minute and 10 left. No timeouts left. That's what I would have done at that situation. That's what I would have did. I would have forced the Jets because I'd say, listen, we already got 3 turnovers. Hurts has already thrown 2 picks. I don't want to take a chance. This guy's just not having his best game. The Jets obviously are, you know, defending the pass much better than we expected to. And so let's just run the ball, get a couple of yards, and then we'll punt the ball on 4th down. But we're going to run it down as much as we can and force Zach Wilson, who hasn't really driven the ball that much during the game. And I'll put my faith in my defense, who has played very well throughout the game. I'll put my defense on the field and force Zach Wilson to drive with about a minute and whatever it would be. Let's say a minute and 15. He'll have to drive from inside his own 20 into field goal range in that short of time with no timeouts.
So what was the score again before the drive you're talking about?
It was 14-12. So all they
it was 14-12. How much time to go?
At the 2 minute warning.
Right.
Right after the 2 minute warning, it was 3rd down and 9. Right after the 2 minute warning was off, the Eagles had a 3rd down and 9 from their, what was it, 35. It was 3rd and 9 from their own 46-yard line. The Eagles. So they were at the 46-yard line, 3rd down and 9, 2 minute warning, right? So, and the Jets all use all 3 of their timeouts, so they can't stop the clock anymore. So if the Eagles run the ball there, they knock it down to, say, a minute and a half, right? More than a minute and a half, right? Because 30 seconds, 5, you know, whatever it is. So you're talking about, then you're going to punt the ball, and let's say they get a good punt and they get it down to the 10. That means Zach Wilson has to drive 40. He has to drive 50 yards in a minute and 10 seconds with no timeouts. Think about that. As bad as the Eagles played, and they played bad, and as good as the Jets played, they played great, the Eagles still would have been in that situation where it was like, okay, I'm going to put my defense on the field. You could drive, you got to drive 50 yards in a minute and 10 with Zach Wilson. Go for it. That's what I would have did. But they said, hey, you know what? Let's get the first down and we'll kill the game right here. That was their mentality. And I understand that and I respect that. I just think it was the wrong decision. Simple.
But is it the wrong decision because it didn't work?
No.
Is that what it is?
No, for me, of course, but also looking at the rest of the game. The rest of the game, the Eagles offense couldn't get on any kind of roll. Like you said, the turnovers, they couldn't get into any kind of rhythm. Because the Jets
and the craziest thing about the plays you're talking about on that drive, right? Again, I got to give props to Michael Narnia for charting those. They had a wide open ground that would have maybe iced the game. Quinnen Williams gets a freaking rush up the middle right into freaking Hurts' chest. Hurts airmails the ball to the point where Brown has to go try to tip it off, and he almost tips it into Adams' hand.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So the play call was fine. The wide receiver got open. Everything worked perfectly, other than the fact, and if you look at the line, right, nobody, not Huff, not anybody on the line won. Nobody else right, won. Nobody was sniffing Hurts. The only person that got to Hurts was Quinnen Williams. If Quinnen Williams did not win that rep, and you have to remember, you gotta give him that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know who you did you? You know that the guy that he just beat cleanly like that is one of the best guards in the NFL. Hands down. You know this. Right?
Yep.
So he beat him, right? Then that's basically the reasoning for the interception, the reasoning why they got to that play for the interception.
Right.
Right? For the play for the interception, they had been tricking the Eagles the whole game with their alignment fronts, right? They were, okay, they rush four, they rush five, they rush six. But basically the alignment was the same. Some kind of odd combination of C.J. Mosley playing, mugging the line where he's basically standing on the line of scrimmage, or Quincy Williams, where a safety is the fourth or fifth rusher, right? It was happening all game. So what they do, they flipped it this time. Instead of Whitehead being the strong safety, coming down and being that fifth rusher like they had been doing, he plays backwards. Adams comes into the line like the fifth rusher. But instead of Adams blitzing this time, he freaking drops into coverage. And to make it even worse, pressure got to Hurts. Can't remember exactly who it was. And the first thing Hurts thinks to himself is, yeah, the last couple times I saw this defensive look, this in cut gets open because the safety blitzed. So I'm going to, oh, shit, too late, because he was tricked. Not only he was tricked, if you look at the offensive line themselves did not do a good job because they fell for the okie-doke. You understand me? So as much as I want to understand, and I got it. Listen, I think you have a great point, because this is football plays or football games are layers and layers of nuance, right?
Yep.
But you have to give the Jets defense props for being able to manipulate that defense to the point where they face that offense, that offensive line. You know the kind of experience that is on that line. For them to have them thinking at that point instead of acting, where they're like, oh crap, what did we? That's what you want to do as a defense. You know what I mean? So the fact that they did that, I think kudos to the Jets for being able to put them, because I think everything else was working. Guys were getting wide open. I even said, how many times did the other wide receiver, what's his name? Not Brown, the other kid, Smith,
right,
was wide open. He dropped a couple passes, right? If you tell me that they weren't executing because they were drop passes and kind of miscues, I would definitely would not argue with that, because there are miscues, and that's why I'm siding with you on the point. I think the Eagles are not moving as a well-oiled machine, mostly because they're trying to gel as a unit with their new offensive coordinator. And I agree with you. Six games into the season, bruh, we should be seeing something. Right. But I don't think they're that far away, because when against the Jets, guys were getting open. guys were getting open. The problem is the Jets had them beat at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Something you do not see. That offensive line is not one of those lines that choke. That's not what they do. They go about their business almost like clockwork. And the plan was to confuse them. And the Jets did that to a T all game. And especially when it mattered the most. So it's true that the Eagles did not. This is not the well-oiled machine they were last year. Right. But this is not also some weak ass side of the road team we're talking about here. There's not a lot of teams that were going to be able to finish them. I don't care if they were running the ball or passing the ball. There was the fact that the Jets won that game, to me, is more to the fact that the Jets were able to execute on defense so soundly that they not only confused the offensive line, but they confused the quarterback. And I think that is what won the game.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I wasn't, trust me, I'm not taking anything away from the Jets.
I know.
Yeah, I'm just saying that just looking at it from the Eagles side, just looking at how they played and, you know, now their schedule is going to get hard. Like now it's going to get serious for Philly.
Yeah. Yep. And
like you said, if they're close, they better hope they're close on the offensive side because it's going to get worse.
As good as that schedule is, and yes, it's a hell of a schedule. Those teams got to play the Eagles too.
Right. Oh no, absolutely. Kind of like, oh, we got
to. You know what I'm saying? Right. They got to play the Eagles too. And like I said, this is not some by the street team we're talking about. They're 5-1 for a reason. And they won all these games last year for a reason. They're incredibly talented. And Smith is not going to drop that many balls in a season, in a game like he did against the Jets. And not there's probably two teams in the NFL other than the Jets that could do what the Jets did on Sunday to the offensive line, that offensive line.
Right.
And to me, I got to go through their schedule again, but I don't see it. I don't see it. As good as the Cowboys defensive line is, to me, the one guy you got to be scared of is, you know, number 11. That's it. To me.
Well, look
and I think the Eagles play them good enough. The Eagles know, because the Eagles have played them enough to know,
They know how to play them. But here's the schedule, the next 6-7 games. They got Miami at home, at Washington, all right. And then it's home against Dallas, their bye week. Then it's at Kansas City, home against Buffalo, home against San Fran, at Dallas, at Seattle.
Yeah, so, that's a hell of a schedule, man. I ain't gonna lie. They're good teams. They're good. They're really good teams. But again, like I said.
But if you're the Eagles and if you're a Super Bowl quote unquote contender, then okay, then that's your schedule. Yeah. You know, then you gotta
exactly
like said, they're looking at the schedule saying, damn, we got Philly this week. You know, like this ain't gonna be easy. But remember too, Lane Johnson got knocked out of this game early. So that definitely had an impact on their offense. But all right, so putting this game aside,
yes, sir.
Great game. We're feeling good now going into the bye, so we don't got a game this week. What do you think? Like, just looking forward a little bit in a couple of weeks, the trade deadline's coming up. What do you want to see the Jets do during the bye week into the next game? Like, what are some of the things that you want to see differently? Let's just add before we get into that, Mecole Hardman was traded, swapped 6th and 7th round pick. So basically nothing for him, basically just getting rid of him. Let's start there. What do you think of the Mecole Hardman signing and then trading him away?
I think that's the right move. I think having the guy just sitting there is incredibly, you know, that, and I know a lot of people are going to kill the Jets for doing this. But I don't think it's really their fault. I think this to me, when you have a process that's working, this is what's supposed to happen. You know, you're supposed to draft a guy that comes in and basically fills the need of a player on your squad that you're paying a bunch of money to, and you go, I could literally get you for cheaper. Oh man, I love you, bro, but yeah, I can't do this. I can't give you $4 million when I could pay this dude $500,000 to do the same thing you're doing. It's just not happening. You know what I mean? So it's you know, it's, of course, that's where the business of the game comes in. I think that's, unfortunately, that's how it is, you know. So, you know, he's going back to the Chiefs. In my opinion, they need more weapons, you know, right now. So it works out for us. It works out for them.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of a, I don't call it a failure, but you know what, to sign a guy and a guy that's as explosive as he is, how they didn't find a spot for him somewhere on this team, like a play, couple of plays, you know, like, I don't know. Like, and we need explosive plays outside of Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, right? There's no real explosive players on this team. So you would think they would have tried to find, you know, a play or two. Because I know he's not a great route runner, right? If you want to get technical, right? All right.
So he's not.
He's not an every down back, you know, an every down wide receiver.
Wide receiver, no.
But he's a guy that you should, I thought they should have found some more playing time somewhere just to get him on the field, you know, to try to get him.
I think I understand where you're going. I think we have to think of this as, okay, you there's a particular offense or system, right? Within that system, and I know a lot of people, this is not mad. You don't just get to run a bunch of plays. Every play is linked to each other play. They're basically friendly, you know, or friendly to each other. Because when you call plays as an offensive coordinator, there is a rhythm to it. There is a meaning behind what you're doing. There's a process. There is a, what's the word, man? There's a higher reasoning behind why you call a run when you do. You know what I mean? So when basically what you're doing is, and when you're calling, if what you're asking him to do is step out of his system and incorporate this just so that this player will be comfortable, that will never happen. And I have always accused offensive play callers at, you know, being completely about their system, and sometimes that limits them. But in this situation specifically, I don't think that's the issue here. And the reasoning behind that is Zach Wilson.
Right.
Zach Wilson is not Aaron Rodgers. I think if Aaron Rodgers was here, I think they would have used Mecole Hardman. But Zach Wilson still has footwork issues. Zach Wilson still has a ton of growth to do within that offense. And create and doing all these fancy stuff takes away from moments that are teachable within the offense for him. He needs that to have that incredible continuous rhythm with his offensive line and his players, where he's making the reads and he's calling the plays and he is audible in and out of certain things. And to me, when you start adding all this other stuff to it, you're taking away from the process by which you want to teach him the offense. That's why you won't see a lot of that going on. There's too much importance in teaching Zach Wilson how to play quarterback within this system. And if you realize, week by week, pay attention closely, week by week, they're giving him a little bit more freedom to do everything. And they're opening the game more to him. So it's a process. And I just think that he, Hardman just did not fit the process in trying to groom this kid right now. If Aaron Rodgers was on the field, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I agree.
Oh yeah. Most definitely. I think as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down, I think that just killed everything that they wanted to do with him. And, you know, you don't have to give Gibson a bunch of snaps because he's a rookie. You know what I mean? You let him return the ball and you give him a couple on offense. That's it. But if you have Hardman, you have to give him touches. And unfortunately, when you're in the situation you are, the quarterback is more important.
Right.
So, you know, I think that just took precedent. In my opinion, that's just what happened.
So, all right. So what are your thoughts? Like going into the bye, like I said, 3-3, looking pretty good. You know, the trade deadline's coming up in less than a couple of weeks now. Where's thinking about the trade deadline? All right, I think we've talked about it. Wide receiver, right? Adding maybe
yes.
A wide receiver would be nice. What other position you think we could look to add a player or two?
I think that would be the most important one, because I think if anything else, the most glaring issue with the Jets is there's guys on the team that do their job. But for you to do what the Jets are trying to do, which is go to the playoffs, you have to find guys that could beat their job. Basically, you have to perform more than just what you're asked to do. You know what I mean? So basically becoming, I think the term is a force multiplier. I've heard people say that a lot. So it's like, okay, so I'm doing my job, but not only that, what I do impacts everybody else in a positive manner. And to me, a route running special guy, offense, wide receiver, would be a game changer. Because what we have is guys that you could scheme open. I think, you know, Garrett Wilson, of course, is the one guy that could do that. He could get open and you don't have to scheme him open. But that's just one guy. And teams could tee off on that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So as much as you want to say, you know, what's his name from we've got from Green Bay, that's not his game.
Right.
You know, that's not his game. So he's not going to you know, run intricate routes and get open. That's not his thing. And I think that would pair incredibly well if we get a guy like Hunter Renfrow to be kind of a slot wide receiver that will be able to create openings for Zach Wilson other than what our tight ends are doing. Because I think our tight end, what's his name?
Ruckert?
Yeah, not Ruckert, because I think Ruckert is almost there.
Yeah,
at this point, Ruckert, it's time for Ruckert to get more snaps.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. Conklin. Yeah, but Conklin is the one to me at the time. I mean, he's you know, twisting ankles left and right, and his route running as a tight end is incredible in my opinion. But if you could pair him with a slot wide receiver that's able to run intricate routes and beat coverage, zone coverage, understand that, beat man coverage on third down, right? That opens up things for Conklin. And Conklin opens up things for him. But also, it creates a problem where now defenses have to concentrate inside on the Jets' offense. And leaving Wilson for more space to operate where he could run all his crazy routes and get himself open more often. So I think that's probably the biggest thing for me, as they need a wide receiver that's able to run better routes and get wide open and give the Jets, especially on third down, that kind of guy they need.
Yeah. So definitely, I think, yeah moving up Ruckert. Any other moves you want to see them make? Any change?
Yeah, the Ruckert thing is a foregone conclusion in my mind. Because as much as I have respect for Uzama, he's stiff. He's not as athletic as Ruckert is, and to me, his blocking is way too inconsistent. I think Ruckert's blocking is more consistent than his is, and it's sometimes difficult for coaches to kind of park the veteran on the bench You know what I mean? But if, man, listen, at this point, the kid is showing you he could do it. It's the same thing with Huff, where we were crying for, hey, give this guy snaps. And guess what? One of the best pass rushers in the NFL this year. Leads the league in quarterback pressures, you know? So, yeah, let the kid shine, man. Give him some shine.
Definitely. So, anyway, we got the bye week, and then, of course, we come back after the bye in week 8 against the Giants. So that should be interesting. Giants, we know, have not been playing well at all. But yeah. So let's take a look at the games for this week, week 7, coming up. First off, we got on Thursday night, interesting matchup, Jacksonville at New Orleans. Jacksonville coming off their victory against the Colts, 37-20. And the Saints, they lost last week against the Texans, 2013. Texans are starting to show a little fight here. You know, Stroud looking like he's the real deal. Finally,
you know. Yeah, when that's what happens when you have a quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. We know that's what you. We know, unfortunately, too well that we need a quarterback.
Yes, sir.
We know it way too well. So, what do you think, Jacksonville at New Orleans?
You mean the Jaguars at the Saints. To me, the Saints are not far away too, man. But you're asking. This is another issue with an offensive coordinator that has never really called plays with a quarterback that has basically seasoned. This is even a bigger issue, in my opinion. You have a guy that's a quarterback that's been playing NFL football for a while, and you're changing his coordinator. Now they have to learn each other's language, right? And not only that, there's guys that are incredibly important parts of that offense that needs to gel well. I think the return of Thomas is a big deal. I think finding what he's supposed to be in this offense is something they're still figuring out. Even if whilst they're doing it, you could still see the potential in that offense, because trust me, the Saints offense is right there. It's not that far away. The inconsistency in Carr's game is one of the things that's always maddening for me, is because he's always like that. You know, he plays well sometimes, and then like when you least expect it, he throws like the craziest interception. Like, what? Well, why did you do that? You know what I mean? But they have, skilled position wise, they have really good players. They have, you know, we forgot that Chris Olave is there, and there's an emergence of a kid. What's his name, man? Wide receiver. Can't remember his name right now.
Thomas, right? Thomas?
No. I mean, they have Olave and Thomas, but there's another kid, wide receiver. Yeah, I think he's a rookie. That's balling too. That's incredibly fast. I mean, just blows every offense, defense, the top off defenses.
I know. Yeah,
yeah. You know who I'm talking about. To me, you know, they have the potential, and with the return of Kamara, I think they definitely, they're definitely on the up, because the one thing we cannot question about New Orleans is their defense. They could play defense. They have stars everywhere on that defense, safety, linebacker, pass rushers. You know, they have everything everywhere. I think two issues that they have in right now is they don't have a great tight end, and their offensive line is injured, like incredibly injured, like really right. bad. So this is going to be a good matchup. And I kind of browsed the play, the games, and yeah, there's going to be a couple incredible games this weekend. One of these, in my opinion, is going to be that game, because I don't think New Orleans is some kind of team that you could just kick about. I think the possibility that they're the ones that win their division is pretty, you know, big in my opinion. So I want to give them their respect. But if the Jacksonville Jaguars play the way they could play, they're gonna win that game.
Yeah,
they should.
I agree.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Jacksonville. I went all around the world, but Jacksonville, I gotta give Jacksonville because Jacksonville
feels the same way. Vegas has the Saints as 1-point favorites.
Yeah,
which I'm still surprised because I think Jacksonville's the better team, but New Orleans is home, and like you said, really good defense. They got some players on offense. Yeah, they could be a problem for a team, but I think Jacksonville is just a better team, and they're starting to play better, Jacksonville. You can see it the last couple of weeks. ETN is starting to get into a groove. Like, he was one good week, then one bad week. One good week, one bad week.
The problem is I think the reason behind Vegas is because of how good the Saints defense is.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a top 10 defense out there. Yep. So, you know. So, and then unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence has the, you know, he has this thing where he kind of just falls apart when he plays top shelf defenses. You know, almost every time I see him play a top shelf defense, he kind of chokes, you know. So I think this game is going to be pretty close, you know, as Vegas thinks so too. But yeah, I think Jacksonville wins this game.
Yeah. Yeah, close game, but I think they win too.
Yes.
All right, now we'll get to the Sunday games. You got Vegas traveling to Chicago. Vegas coming off their tight victory against the Patriots, 21-17. And the Bears coming off a home loss against the Vikings, 19-13. Justin Fields gets hurt. And now the Bears got a quarterback that's going to start for them who's like a Division II quarterback out of college.
Yeah. Yeah.
very interesting.
Crazy.
Tyson Badgett. Yeah. Because when he was playing, I was saying to myself, where is this guy from? And then I just looked it up. Division II, Shepherd University. So
Sheesh.
That's why not many people probably heard of him. So, and listen, I think Garoppolo got hurt too last week. He got carried off. Back issue. I'm not sure if he's playing this
yes.
week. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm kind of leaning on the not playing thing because yeah, when you grab your back the way he did, it's an indication of it could be something real serious. Not serious to the point where he's out for the season, but probably out for a few weeks. You use your back and twist your back when you throw all the time, man. You know, you basically use your whole trunk. So he might not have it this week. And you know, I still think the Raiders could win this game. Because the Bears are just atrocious at this point, bro. Like,
Yeah. That's not gonna be
no.
a pretty any way we look at it.
No, it's not pretty.
No. next up you got Cleveland. Of course, they came off their big win at home against the 49ers. Nobody really seen that one, 19-17. And they traveled to Indianapolis to play the Colts, who lost to, we just talked about, Jacksonville, 37-20. Cleveland's, you talk about a defense.
Oh.
Let's talk about Cleveland's defense.
Chris, we had this conversation. When yep. you asked me who was the dark horse in the AFC, I told you. It was the Browns. Remember, I told you this before the season started. The only thing we were worried about was the fact that we didn't know who, you know, which Deshaun Watson would show up. If it would be the before scandal Deshaun Watson, or this guy that we saw last year,
right?
You know, and unfortunately for the Cleveland Browns,
Watson.
Yeah, the after scandal guy is who showed up, and he's injured now. The quarterbacks that they have in the back, they're serviceable, but they're also mercenaries. They play for the other team whilst playing for you too. You know, turn the ball over. You know what I mean? So it's just a bad look for them because it's just a waste of an incredibly almost legendary defense. I think the Browns have held almost every opponent that they've played for a shade over 200 yards I think. And the last time a team held teams for that long, for basically every game, for the first six games, for that amount of yardage per game,
right,
was 1970. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. And you know, when you look at that defense, corners are good, safeties are great, linebackers are quick and fast and crazy, pass rush is ridiculous. They got it. They got it. I was talking about teams that could play defense, like the Jets. This is one of them right here. You know, they got the talent everywhere. You know, and then they have the brains behind the operation in Jim Schwartz, in my opinion, that basically took a defensive basic. That defense was almost last in the NFL in run stopping last year. And they're the best in the NFL right now, you know. So that speaks to, you know, the genius of Jim Schwartz, in my opinion. So the Browns is just too good, man. They to me the Colts are the Colts are nothing to sneeze at now, in my opinion. The only thing is that they can't play defense.
Right.
They really they're bad. They're just bad right now on defense. But I think despite the quarterback issues, I think the Browns win this game.
Yeah, I think so too. Like you said, they're just a better team. But let's go back to last week real quick in that Cleveland brand game. You know, if the rookie kicker kicks a field goal at the end of the game, you know, we're talking about the 49ers being 6-0.
Yes.
Cleveland
yes.
is a tough game. They played well, but they lost, right?
Agreed.
The whole narrative changes a little bit.
That's true, and like I always say, again, layers of nuance. The I was watching a lot of those about a lot of how Schwartz played, what he was trying to do to take away those legendary Shanahan type runs that he always does now, where he pulls guards and he has wide receiver he has his wide receivers blocking on out on the edge, creating these holes. He basically was just blowing that up, causing his players basically playing faster than the 49ers offense, getting to the spot faster, blowing up the runs consistently, right? The chess match was when Shanahan realized what Schwartz was doing. Shanahan was like, "Oh, I got something for you." And then, you know, kind of got the look he wanted out of tricking Schwartz into thinking, hey, this is what I'm gonna do. And then kind of, I think it was like a play action pass or something like that. But I can't remember exactly who was opening the play. But the reason why I brought that play up was because that was an indication of how probably the first time we've seen Brock Purdy play bad football. Because he had a player wide open, and he missed him. He not only did he miss him, the timing, he was off timing, and he still threw the ball. He threw the ball late. So, I think the fact that he didn't have his best game, McCaffrey went out injured.
Yep. Debo.
Debo went out on injured, and they still only lost the game because of a missed field goal. I think again that indicates how great this team is. As much as I want to give kudos to how good the Browns played, which they did,
but
that's just how good the 49ers are. They basically lost the game off of a missed field goal.
And add in Trent Williams wasn't 100% either, right?
Wasn't no
or something. So yeah. But I agree. I think Cleveland should win this game against the Colts.
Cool.
Next game, you got Buffalo traveling to New England. Buffalo, really beats the Giants 14-9. Ugly, ugly, ugly victory, but a victory. And New England, of course, lost to Las Vegas 21-17. So, what are your thoughts on Buffalo? Because I'm torn.
I, just to drive my point home, right, about the Bills. I think it's the same crap that has always happened. I have to always revisit the same talking point, and it's kind of a tragedy, right? I know that Josh Allen is the star of the game, of the play, of the team. I understand that. I think we all do. But that does not mean he has to do all the work. Why, in God's name, do the Bills refuse to run the damn ball? I will never understand why that's not a bigger reason. You could do so much. This guy is the biggest neon light sign in the NFL. One of the biggest. The fact that he could keep the ball and run, the fact that he could do, he could stretch your defense horizontally in so many different ways. You can't play off of that? I don't understand why that's not a bigger part of their game. And don't get me wrong, I think lost in the fact that the Giants offense, lost in the fact that the team has lost so many games and everything, and everybody just talking about how bad the offensive line is and everything is, people forget. This is a pretty good talent, a pretty talented defense now.
Oh yeah.
The only reason why they suffer is because their offense won't let them off the field. They can't even sit and take some oxygen on the sideline, and they have to go back in.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Giants lead the league. Giants defense lead the league in if there was a time of possession by defense.
That's the way, right? the Giants don't lead the league in time of possession.
No, not on offense. I'm talking about the fact that their defense basically is on the field more than anybody else's defense.
So you can't even tell if they'd be good or not because they're just getting out there. But they played
exactly. They did, and because the Bills were crash, you know, they're not executing, Chris. Their offensive line is not executing their blocks. Their running backs are not executing their runs, and the only guy. Two guys or three guys that are playing well is Josh Allen, Diggs, and the other kid, the wide receiver, the other wide receiver, Gabe Davis. That's it. There is very little input from other players. It's because they're so Josh Allen and Diggs centric that to me everything is lost. And when teams start taking that away and creating problems, I think it becomes a nasty game. And it looks like they're struggling when we know that they're one of the better offenses in the league, you know? So playing the Patriots is going to be a tough one for them because the Patriots' defense is nothing to play with. You think the Giants gave you issues? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. What you're going to face in the Patriots? The only thing that you have going for you is the fact that the Patriots offense sucks so bad.
Yeah, it's awful. Absolutely awful.
You know? So I'll still give the Bills a win here, but
yeah.
They're gonna have a hard time. If they can't, they have to establish the run and have teams take teams away from targeting Josh Allen and free him up to make 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 really good plays because they're teeing off on other teammates that are doing their job. Come on, it's enough already, in my opinion. I just, since Dabo left Buffalo, that offense is no.
Yeah, no, I know, I agree. It's just a mess, and you know what? They got to fix it up quick because if they want to be in the playoffs and they want to be a serious Super Bowl contender, they got to play better than what they're doing now. So, but they should. Do enough to beat the Patriots because the Patriots are just awful. We've said it. This is the end. The Belichick era is going to end after this season. I'm just curious if he's going to make it to the end. I wonder if he steps down before. It's just getting worse and worse there. So
that would be a really bad look if he steps down, bro.
Bro, and I still really can't believe
that's not a good way for him to end his career.
I still can't believe we lost to this team, to the Patriots.
Well, when you think about it again, When you think about it, what the Jets were going through back then, that was crazy. You know,
they better beat
trying to get over, trying to get over the shock of losing Rodgers, and
yeah,
trying to, you know, there was a lot going on, man, and you know,
they cannot lose to them again.
They didn't blow us out.
No,
so you know,
it was ugly. That was
exactly
why we should have beat them. But next game we got Washington. They came off their big road win at Atlanta, 24-16, and they traveled to the Giants, who we just mentioned, losing to Buffalo. So at Washington at the Giants, what do you think?
Washington is Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, to say the least.
The week before, we were asking, where's the vaunted defensive line?
Right.
They were nowhere to be seen.
Against Chicago, no less.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then their quarterback did a no-show. And then all of a sudden this weekend, oh, wow, look at the Commanders. Oh, my God. You know, this team is the most mind-numbing, like one of the most mind-numbing teams in the NFL right now. I just don't understand it. They have the talent at wide receiver. They have the talent at running back. The quarterback just has to steady the ship, because I think the defense has the makings of a good to better, the shade of over good defense, because the defensive line is could be very dominant. But the fact that they do these no-shows, if they keep doing that, they're going to lose these games. I think it's a good chance for them to go 4-3 against the Giants team that's just struggling mightily right now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And for you to kind of knock, you know, kind of just completely destroy them, and kind of, you know, put them out of their misery, I think that's what Washington should be able to do. The Giants, on the other hand, I don't know what the answer is for them. I really don't. Like, you're giving up the amount of pressures. I think they're on. I think if they keep giving up that pressure, they're gonna be like, you've never seen these numbers are gonna be numbers never seen before, because they're giving up incredible amounts of pressures, as an offensive line per game, that numbers that we've never seen. So, and then Daniel Jones is, I don't think he's gonna be playing, because I think he's injured, right?
Yeah, I think he's still, I don't know if he's still officially out this week. Oh no, he returned to practice this week.
So. Oh, he did. Okay.
So maybe
all right. Well,
he played well. So, but I don't know if that's the offensive line or if that's just him. But we'll see. And Barkley came back last week, so maybe him returning. I don't know. For me, I'm gonna go with the Giants, because the Washington, you know, like you said, Jekyll and Hyde. Can they put together 2 weeks in a row of really good football? That's what I want to say.
Yeah, I'm with the Commanders on that, but trust me, it's not because I want to. It's just that the Giants are so bad right now.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm with you too on that. They are bad. I'm just picking them because they're home. I figured Daniel Jones is back. Maybe something is there. I don't know. next game, you got Atlanta coming off their loss against Washington. We just said 24-16. They traveled to Tampa, and Tampa came off their loss against Detroit, 20-6. Tough game, but they lost. What do you think?
Yeah.
Desmond Ridder actually threw for over 300 yards last week. Threw for three picks.
Yeah, he did something that you have to say, you know. You saw some flashes of, you know, a kid that's probably going to be good. The three pick thing is, listen, to me, that's part of the growing process. I'm not really mad at that. But this team, is a tough team, man. They, you know, we know that they're good at running the ball. I think incorporating the star players that they have on that team is something that they need to do if they're going to move successfully forward. I saw a little bit more of, of course, they tried to get the ball to London multiple times. He had a bunch of targets. But they need to get their star tight end on board.
Yeah,
they need to run the ball more. They're going to run into a defense here that is going to be kind of stinging after that loss that they had so against Detroit, because they took away the run from Detroit, but to let Goff basically slice you up the way he did, I don't think they're going to be feeling too good about themselves. And Baker also didn't have a good game. That was his first bad game for the season. First bad Baker game. It'll be interesting to see what he does going forward. I'm going Buccaneers here because I just think I don't know if I could trust Ritter in giving me 2 weeks straight of playing good football right now.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I do not trust him. And I trust Tampa a little bit more. And Tampa played Detroit tough, man. 20-6. That's as good as you're gonna get against Detroit. Detroit's one of the elite teams in this league now. I think people are starting to see that. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Tampa in this game. Next game we got Detroit. We just talked about them beating Tampa 20-6 against. This is another team that's got to wake up a little bit. I know they won last week, but Baltimore beat the Tennessee Titans 24-16, but they kind of hung on to beat them. And I think if they played anybody better, maybe they don't beat them. So, well, what are your thoughts about Baltimore? Because Detroit, we know. I think we're putting Detroit in the top three teams now in the league, four teams in the league. They're up there. Whichever way you want to rank them.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, yes, both on defense and offense, they're just very good.
Baltimore, I'm not sure about yet. I still
– Yeah, you're right. Correct. Baltimore still does Baltimore things. They play very good defense, and they could still run the ball. One of the best running teams in the NFL. Guess what they don't do well? Passing the ball.
Right.
What did they bring Todd Monken in to do? Improve their passing game. And unfortunately, we haven't seen that. It's way too inconsistent, and he's still more of a running quarterback than a passing quarterback, in my opinion. Now, rhythm plays where he's, you know, these three-step drops and the ball is out. There's, you know, five-step drops and the ball is out. Kind of really quick game type throws. He could get you that. But if you're going to have something that needs to be kind of a slow paced, you know, take a little time to, you know, kind of understand what the defense is doing and get the ball to him. I think a layered ball, we still don't see that from him. I thought by now you would see more of those throws from him. You know, these mid-level throws where you don't have to spice it up too much, or you don't have to layer it too much, but you got to find a nice, fine, you know, middle ground between that. I don't think he's really good at that right now, and that's not a good look, because a lot of these throws, a lot of NFL football for quarterbacking is mid-level throwing between zones. You know what I mean? So I don't know what they're going to do. I still think because their offensive line is so good and they could run the ball, and because they could play such great defense, they're going to be an incredibly formidable team. The problem is when you get to the playoffs, the teams you're facing, you got to be able to throw the ball.
Right.
So this is going to be the problem with them. They're going to be facing a team that's good against the run, that could be maybe take the run away from them and force Lamar Jackson to throw the ball downfield more. So this is going to be a pretty tough matchup for the Ravens, in my opinion, here. And with a team streaking upwards in the Lions, I'm picking the Lions here. I might be just picking the hot hand, but I think I'm going to stick with the Lions on this one.
Yeah, I think so too. Until Baltimore finds its rhythm on offense, because right now they're just not there. I got to go with Detroit too. I think it's gonna be a good game, but I think Detroit, they're up there now. They're to me a top three, top four team, right? You talk about San Fran, you talk about Miami, Kansas City. I think Detroit's in that spot right there. So, next game you got Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh played last week. No, Pittsburgh coming off a bye.
They travel to the
Rams. So,
and interesting
Rams,
game.
Yeah, Rams are a pretty good team. They came off. They beat the Cardinals 26-9. I like the Rams. I'll be honest.
Healthy quarterback. Skilled position players are back, completely healthy. Emerging star rookies. The defense is back to do what they do. Aaron Donald is back to Aaron Donald doing Aaron Donald things. Impressive team, man. Of course, they're 3-3 like us, because, you know, they're still not on that level where we were talking about. And the Steelers, on the other hand, quarterback issues, man.
Yeah.
Offensive issues, man. What did they do in that bye to change what they're doing on offense? That's going to be the question, because if you're going to play good defense and they're not on the level of some of the better defenses in the NFL. So if you're not going to be able to play that kind of defense, your offense has to be able to hold the fort. Unfortunately, they just can't. They can't run the ball consistently enough, and their pass game is just so. It leaves so much, you know, wanting on the table, in my opinion. So I can't side with the Steelers right now. I'm going Rams.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. The Rams and they're playing well. I mean, I know they lost to Philly a couple of weeks ago. Pittsburgh,
but it's Philly.
And Pittsburgh offensively, I don't know. Can't trust them. I think they're going to hang in every game because of their defense, but got to go Rams there. Arizona traveling to Seattle. Arizona coming off their loss against the Rams, 26-9, and Seattle coming off their loss against Cincinnati, 17-13. What do you think of Seattle? Seattle should win this game. I don't think there's any discussion here, but what do you think of Seattle? Seattle a top five-ish team or no?
The ish is where you're right. I think they were on the outside looking in, but I also think there's a possibility for them to join the top five, because I think they're just off their what they did last year. I think they're just off by a little bit. I think they could still run the ball. I think Geno is still playing pretty well. And I think the defense is playing good. So I don't think they're too far away from where they want to be. I'm not really worried about them. I think there's been a couple coaching gaffes. I think there's also been Geno kind of not being the Geno they need him to be. So there's a little bit of everything, but you could chalk that up to a team just kind of taking time. You know, it's been, you know, they're just not there yet. But they got to hurry though.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Teams are gonna take over, man, if they keep sleeping.
Oh yeah. Next game, not so pretty of a game here. Green Bay, coming off a bye. Travels to Denver, and Denver, of course, played last Thursday night, and they lost 19-8.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one.
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I don't know. I'm just saying, Denver played decent against Kansas City, and they're home, so I'm going to go with Denver. And Green Bay, I know they're coming off a bye, which is great, but I don't know. I haven't seen Jordan Love play that well yet.
The one thing Denver has going for them is the fact that they could play good defense. And the Packers' offense is all over the place. So I think the Broncos' offense is respectable enough that they could survive what the Packers do on defense. And on the other end, I think the Broncos' defense is good enough to stymie the Packers. So I'm going to go with Broncos on this one.
Yeah.
If they lose that game, if the Broncos lose this game, this is earth-shattering. This has my role.
Yeah, this is done. They're done.
Yeah.
And there's already rumors that they're going to start to break down that team looking for a rebuild after this season. So you might see them being very busy at the trade deadline.
Agreed.
So maybe we could get one of their receivers. That would be great. But I don't know. Next game, you got the Chargers coming off their loss against Dallas on Monday night, 2017. And they're going to travel to Kansas City. So after Dallas, now they got Kansas City. And Kansas City, of course, just spoke. They beat Denver on Thursday night. So they got a little extra time to get ready for this game. So this should be a KC victory, I would think.
Yeah, this is a KC victory because the Chargers are charging. They're always charging.
They always figure it out. They always figure out a way
yeah.
to play. So,
yeah. Yeah, I've never seen a team that has that much talent that just underperforms the way they do, man. Yeah. And at some point, we have to start asking the question, what's up? Where does Herbert fit?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, hey, man, he could make some great throws, but if you can't consistently do what you need to do to win games for your team, I'm sorry. We can't keep mentioning you as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. You can't do that.
And you got to think that head coach is on the hot seat the rest of the way. So he may not be there next year. So I think there's a big change coming with the Chargers. Miami coming off their victory 42-21 against Carolina. No surprise there. They travel to Philly. We've just seen Philly, you know, play the Jets. We talked about them earlier in the show. What do you think here? I think this is a good game to see where the Eagles are at, right? They took their first loss. How are they going to rebound? You know, are they going to rebound well? Or are they not going to rebound? So I think this is a big game for them.
That's a big game for both teams.
Yeah.
Because Miami, everybody wants to crown them because they score all these points and so on and so forth. The first real challenge they had, they got smacked. So are you the Miami that scores a bunch of points, or are you the one the Bills smack? That's the question.
Right.
For the Eagles, the Eagles is everything we said when we were talking about the Jets Eagles game. You know, for them to realize the dream of what it is that they are as an offense. Because right now, like you said, they might have questions about what their identity is on offense. So I'll tell you one thing, if you're not sure who you are and you're playing the Miami Dolphins,
good luck.
It'd be an ugly day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It may not be pretty because
no,
we could
because
see
they, yep, they'll send you home pretty quick. You'll be sitting there on the sideline with your hanging your faces real low as they're up by 21 in like a blink of an eye. So,
and then Monday night, San Francisco, we talked, they lost their tough game against Cleveland, 19-17, and they're going to go to Minnesota for Monday night football. Minnesota coming off their victory against Chicago. That was an ugly game, 19-13. But
yeah,
I would think San Fran bounces back here.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah, all the things that went wrong, those things don't happen to that team as often as it happened. And
yeah,
and the Vikings do not, in my opinion, they're not on that level. Now, they could prove me wrong now because you know that any given Sunday rule, but no.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's our preview and review of Week 6 and Week 7. Enjoy the games. Thank you, as always, for joining us every week for our show. We appreciate all the likes and the shares and everything else. We really do. Thank you very much. And we will catch you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys.